Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now you might think I'm going to preach on doubting Thomas. Actually, I wish I would hire a lawyer and defend Thomas. I think that's a terrible title for it. But that's a sermon for another time. Because as I looked at this lesson this year and this time, and we get this lesson every year, I kept coming back to one small detail, which to me informs this and informs this day. The doors were shut. Isn't that a great image, both literally and metaphorically, about life? The doors were shut, locked. They were barricading themselves away from the world on that first Easter. Now, you might say that makes a lot of sense. After all, they had seen Jesus taken away and they had betrayed him. They had not seen Jesus crucified because most of the disciples didn't show up that day. The women were there, but they had heard about it on Good Friday. And now there were these rumors going around. And in fact, last week's lesson from Luke tells us they wouldn't even believe the women's story. It was an idle tale. So here they were, their fears running amok. They're fearful if Jesus was dead, and they were afraid if Jesus was alive. And their fears took over their rational stuff, and they just could hover in fear and could not move. It's a powerful image. It's one we all know, if we're honest. There are times in our lives when all of us feel overwhelmed with fear and doubts and things like that, where it takes over the rational part of our brain. Now, God put that part of our brain down here where fears operate for a reason, to keep us alive. But it also gets in the way sometimes because that overwhelms us. And the disciples were overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. So look forward a week. You would think, the disciples now have seen Jesus, all of them, Thomas, and we'll cut him a little slack for that reason. Were they at? Are they out in Jerusalem proclaiming the good news?
No.
Are they running around writing books about Jesus? No. They're still behind closed doors. Did you notice that? They're still, even after having participated in the resurrection, they're behind closed doors. That's a testament to all of us of what fear can do to us. How fear can bind us. And that can happen as individuals. It can happen to communities. It can happen to nations and societies that we turn so much inward out of our fears that we lose balance, perception, and hope. It gets wiped away. But notice what happens here. Notice what happens when Jesus appears before his disciples, both the first time and the second one. He doesn't come sliding in there and go, "That's me." You know, and he doesn't exactly make a big deal of it. He doesn't berate them for their disbelief. He doesn't read them the riot act for their disobedience, their denial of him. But let's face it, every one of them was as bad as they're about to accuse Thomas of, and pretty much just about as bad as Judas was. They abandoned Jesus. They left him in his hour of need. Disciples and friends. And yet that's not what Jesus came to them about. What does Jesus do? Shows them the signs of the death and resurrection, the marks of the cross, and says, "Peace be with you." Here is the power that overcomes fear. Here is the symbol of God that we need to hold up to our fearful world. It's not the God who berates us. It's not the God who's angry with us. It is the God who, despite what we do, comes in peace and hope. Peace and hope and forgiveness. Now, it didn't change the disciples right away. I want you to note that. That first Sunday, and even the octave, the 8 days of the resurrection, the week later, they're not ready to charge out in the world. But they're on their way. It may not seem like it, but they're beginning to change. This message of hope, this message of forgiveness, this sign of Jesus' death has begun to be at work in them. When you get to the fifth chapter of Acts, Peter's not just hiding back behind closed doors. He's barging into the council of the elders, daring to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen. Is that a miracle or what? To me, that's more impressive than Jesus slipping in between locked doors, you know, that kind of thing. Is that he took these frightened men, in this case, and women that he encountered. Because you'll notice everybody's reaction to the risen Jesus is not, "Yay," it's, "Oh my God." It's fear. But Jesus overcomes the fear. He overcomes the fear in the disciples. And when they're ready, he sends them with his spirit, breathes on them, and sends them out with his very life breath out into the world. Here is a message of hope for us. I don't know where we are this day. I can't speak for anyone other than myself. You may be fired up with the gospel and be ready for the Spirit to take you out the door. You may be like the disciples, still not quite ready. But whether you realize it or not, God is at work in you. You're here today. Whatever your motives, whatever your motivations, God has brought you here to begin to engender in you the peace of God, the hope of reconciliation, the promise of forgiveness, the power that is greater than the fear and hatred and violence and whatever else there is in this world has come. We may not be charging out the door yet, but God is still burning in us, slowly and surely, like in those disciples, and beginning to change the way we look at the world. Their world hadn't changed. The circumstance hadn't changed. The same enemies were outside their door the first day of resurrection and the eighth day of the resurrection and the 50th day when they went out at Pentecost. The world around them had not changed. The circumstance had not changed. But they were changed because they had encountered the living, loving, graceful, forgiving God. Therefore, nothing would ever be the same. These frightened disciples are about to charge out and change the world. Not because they're that great, but because God's Spirit has begun to be at work in them, and they are, as crazily mixed up as they are, the very vehicles by which God has chosen to reveal himself. Just as he has chosen through you and I this day when he sends us back outside our comfortable doors to witness in the world. Not perfectly, not necessarily greatly, but God will be at work in us for hope, forgiveness, love, grace, mercy. These are the powerful messages this day brings to us. That God will not allow our closed doors, our locked doors literally, or whatever emotionally or fear does to us to stop his love, his grace, and his forgiveness. And he will transform us. We'll be at different points along the way, but somewhere along the way, God's going to motivate us to step out through our locked doors just as he stepped through the locked doors of the disciples and call them to this ministry of hope and reconciliation. The world's perspective, nothing's changed. But the disciples' perspective, nothing was the same. These same frightened disciples are about to go on a mission of a lifetime. Now, it's not the kind of thing you would write a recruitment letter for. Wanted disciples. You'll be sent out of the world. 11 of the 12 will you be killed, the other one poisoned. Sign up today. No. But yet they were so changed by this grace and mercy and love of God that even those real dangers and their imagined fears and prejudices would not stop God's Spirit to be at work. Closed doors of our lives slow down God maybe sometimes, but they do not stop. And wherever we are this day, there is burning in us, maybe a small ember, maybe it's a burning fire of God's love and mercy and forgiveness. And he wants us to walk out these doors and bring peace to his world. Amen.
Amen.